Asking landowners to embrace any environmental initiative is, in a way, as you probably heard there from Andrew Bergen, also asking them to forget about the bitter experiences of previous schemes that went badly wrong. Miscanthus was one such idea from the noughties that burned many farmers badly. They took land out of crop and cereal production at the government's prompting to grow the elephant grass as a biofuel. But then, when plans changed, they were left with fields full of an unwanted 2.5 metre high energy crop that had to literally be dug out of it. It was an experience that turned many people off doing the right thing. But as Hannah Quinn Mulligan found out when she visited the farm of James O'Keefe in County Meath, there are those who stuck with Miscanthus and have carved out a new and very important role for it.
I never thought Miscanthus, I kind of feel like I'm sort of, I should get a machete and like wade through, like it feels a bit jungle-esque or something like that. It's so tall. I mean, how high is it?
You might see Tarzan coming out in a minute, just watch out. I suppose it was up to about 10 foot when it's fully mature. Yeah, this isn't just fully mature, it's probably about 9 foot, 8 foot, 9 foot. But yeah, it's an Asian grass. Some people think it's woody, but it's actually a grass, so... Miscanthus sinensis is the proper name, but Miscanthus we call it, or some people call it elephant grass, and some people like to call it willow, and they call it whatever.
And why did you plant it the first day ever? Because it's obviously not native to Ireland.
No, there was a bit of a push by the government around 2006 kind of time to push it for energy generation, and they're going to burn it in the power plants, co-fire it with peat, Eden Derry and places like this. But they incentivised farmers to plant it on what was set-aside ground at the time, which was an EU thing to not plant crops because they had too much cereals and storage in Europe. So in my father's time, in 2006, he planted it and they paid 50%, I think it was, establishment grant. So it kind of made sense. But the whole market never took off because the government forgot to incentivise the industry to use it, their own power plants like Bordenamona, Semi-State. So they just didn't bother. They tried, and it was a little complicated, and because they weren't being incentivized, they just didn't bother. And I suppose there wasn't as much of an environmental push at the time to decarbonize as there is today. In the life cycle of it, from growing right through to use, it's actually carbon negative. Like, people talk about carbon zero, but it's actually carbon negative. So it's like timber or wood. It'll sequester more carbon than it emits. So that's fantastic. And it can also be grown organically, which is fantastic. It doesn't need nitrogen. It doesn't need any sprays. There's no diseases or viruses that affect it in this part of the world. It fell out of favour and most of it's gone now, ploughed up. We persevered and started selling it for horse bedding into the equine market in a kind of a small way, and it just developed and developed. And then I decided to plant more, specifically for animal bedding. So a lot of it goes for cattle now, but poultry is a big market as well. And it's going really well because it's, apart from being an alternative bedding, it's an exceptional bedding.
Hi, Colm. How are you? It's Hannah here.
Hello, Hannah. How are you?
I'm good. How are all the horses?
Great, thank you. Great. All in great form.
Colm Fitzpatrick keeps a number of high-level dressage and show jumping horses at his facility in Wicklow.
We would have a lot of high-performance horses here, and they're young at the moment, but there's one or two that we would certainly be setting our sights on, kind of top-level dressage. Even heading towards the next Olympics, or even possibly the one after that. So bedding is very important, particularly to do with the respiratory system. They're quite sensitive for such a big animal, and any dust or anything like that that gets into the respiratory system can do a lot of damage, and long-term damage that, you know, isn't so easily fixed. So one of the reasons for the switch was that the Miscanthus is dust-free, and you're getting a high-quality product that's very competitively priced with shavings. There's really no difference between them.
I was going to say, because dust-free is obviously a big plus for you and for the horses, but it's not that much more expensive, is it?
It works out the same, and even at times it can work out a little bit cheaper, because obviously there's no VAT on the Miscanthus and you VAT on the shavings.
Oh, wow. And then I'm guessing an important question for you, with all the horses that you have, the mucking out, is it a bit better or is it the same?
The miscanthus we find to be far more absorbent. So in that way, we're taking out less bedding.
That's brilliant. Colm, thank you very much. I will let you get back to your horses.
Thanks a million.
Hannah talking to horse breeder Colm Fitzpatrick there.